Sometimes we'd prefer that our lives would be a different story than the one God seems to be writing. In our fragile existence, doesn't take much to turn a romance into a drama or an adventure into a tragedy. At a glance, the story of Chiara Luce Badano, the only child conceived after 11 years of marriage, who died at 18 after a bout with a painful form of bone cancer, looks like an empty tragedy, but not from the perspective of the divine author. Chiara lived about 30 years ago in Italy, and she had everything going for her as a teen. She had a loving, holy family and a rock-solid faith, which was nurtured by retreats and a lively youth group. She was popular amongst her friends and liked by many boys, and it's not hard to see why. She was a beautiful girl. Chiara loved to hang out in coffee shops. She was great at tennis, swimming, mountain climbing, and she had an outgoing and adventurous personality. She had a bright future ahead of her. One day, however, while playing tennis, Chiara experienced excruciating pain in her shoulder. Shortly afterwards, she was diagnosed with bone cancer. She watched her bright future slip away. And it's right here that many of us would accept the tragedy of such a story. And yet here is where the real story begins for Chiara, a story of heroic virtue. What was striking about the way Chiara responded to the diagnosis and pain of bone cancer was her joy. That in the midst of all of this pain and suffering, she was joyful. People around her said that described her joy as explosive, and it seemed to only increase with her suffering. After one very pain-filled night, she said, "I've suffered a lot, but my soul was singing." One of her doctors remarked, "Through her smile, through her eyes full of light, she showed us that death does not exist, only life." And a cardinal of the church who heard about this amazing teen who had been diagnosed with cancer visited her and was amazed at what he found. Awestruck, he said, "The light in your eyes is splendid. Where does it come from?" Chiara's reply was simple. "I try to love Jesus as much as I can." I venture to say that young Chiara would have known the principles of our homily series this week, or this month, having the Lord be our comfort in chaos. Chiara knew this. Chiara would know the theme we had last week, that hope is better than optimism, because as good as optimism is, it is nothing in comparison with placing our hope in the person, the promises of Jesus Christ, who turned the tragedy of the cross into the glory of the resurrection. My friends, I don't think there's anyone better than Chiara to show us our theme this week, that joy is the foundation of our Christian life. This is Gaudete Sunday, which means in Latin, rejoicing. And as I've said before Mass, we have rose vestments, a rose-colored candle on our Advent wreath to remind us that we must rejoice in the Lord. But given Chiara's model for us, her story, and perhaps our own chaos in our life, situations we all deal with all the time, we can ask, what is joy? And how is it different from a word we often use interchangeably with it, happiness? What is joy? And what is happiness? In our common usage, as I've said, we use them interchangeably. I'm happy this person came to my house. I rejoiced when I had friends over. We seem to use it interchangeably. And yet, these are two different words with two different meanings and applications. Happiness seems to be an emotional response to pleasure. An emotional response to something good happening in our life. And we have this amazing experience that happens to us, an emotion of pleasure, something good that happens, and we receive that emotional rush of being happy. But let's be honest with ourselves. Does that really last all that long? It comes and goes, just like those experiences. When the experience of pleasure leaves, so does the experience or emotion of happiness. It comes in and out. But joy is a state of life that remains. And I did trying to do a lot of research, trying to find out what a good definition of joy would be for you all tonight. And it's hard, because joy seems to stem from a fruit of a gift from God. It is something God gives us, and it's something lived, a product of being faithful, loving, a fruit of living out the gospel. Joy is something permanent, something that remains even in the midst of pain and suffering. It is not as fleeting as happiness. It remains. So my friends, we can perhaps define joy as a fruit or gift which comes from God's love and from the faith and love that we strive to practice. So my friends, happiness is a mere emotion, while joy is properly related to one's state of life. As one Christian writer has said, joy is not the absence of suffering, it is the presence of God. However, if joy is this deeper fulfillment, this more lasting experience of God in our life, we can ask ourselves, how do we receive this joy? How do we get into our own life, especially right now in this holiday season as we reflect on our chaos, the things in our life that burden us? I think that question is actually very much related to the questions asked to John the Baptist in our gospel today. And these questions come from a challenge that John the Baptist gives his listeners. In the section right before this gospel begins, John the Baptist issues this challenge to all his listeners. He says, the Messiah is coming. You must repent and believe in the good news. But he says, if you are to repent, you must show the good fruits of your repentance. Basically saying, if you turn your life around, there will be things to show for it. There will be good fruits in your life that will display the fact that your repentance is real, that it happened. And from that challenge, we get all the questions today. The crowds, the tax collectors, the soldiers coming up and saying, John the Baptist, what must we do to bear good fruit in our repentance? John the Baptist's answers kind of fall into two categories. The first is service. To repent and believe in the gospel, one serves. It's a concrete sign of believing and repenting. To the crowds, John says, whoever has two cloaks should share with the person who has none, and whoever has food should do likewise. But the second thing that John has, and it's kind of the center of his whole mission, he says, if you are to repent, you must put aside sin. Put aside sinful ways. The tax collectors and soldiers come up to him and say, what must we do? And his basic line is saying to them, your job as a tax collector, as a sinner, is a good thing. But you do things in your job that are sinful. Show the good fruit of your repentance by putting those things aside. Put them aside. He says to the soldiers in particular, do not practice extortion and do not falsely accuse anyone. These two commands by John the Baptist can also allow us to receive joy. Joy is one of the byproducts of the good news. And if we follow John's advice, John's commands to the people of Israel, we will receive the joy of Jesus Christ also. So let's take the first one. Service. In service of others, we are pulled out of ourselves. We realize that our problems are amidst a host of other problems, and that we are not the only ones that matter. That so many people suffer in this world, and that even in the midst of my chaos, my pain, my suffering, I can still reach out to them and perhaps be the face of Jesus to somebody else. I can speak for my own life. Service is an amazing way to see the face of Jesus in others and receive joy even when life can seem so hard. Young Chiara Badano knew this. During one of her many hospital stays, Kiara took walks with a depressed, drug-dependent girl in her hospital, just to spend time with her. And as they're walking around, Kiara was in excruciating pain because she had a tumor on her spine. And when the suggestion was given to her, why don't you rest? She said, I'll have time to rest later. Ever thinking of others, she said, I have nothing left, but I still have my heart. And with that, I can always love. Secondly, we must repent of our sins. That's the heart of John the Baptist's message and the message of the Christian life. Let's go cast our minds back to the first week of Advent. We have that marvelous first reading from Isaiah. It said, to prepare the way of the Lord, we must make mountains level. Now, if we are to prepare a path, a road to receive God, to receive the Savior, what are mountains but barriers? Things that stand in the way of receiving God. My friends, the mountains in our life are things we call sins. They are barriers. They are things we hold on to, either consciously or things that have been burdening us for many years and we don't know how to get rid of them. Things like lust, envy, pride, selfishness, anger, resentment, lack of forgiveness. My friends, we hold on to so many things, and they are mountains that stand in our way of receiving Jesus and receiving joy, lasting, permanent joy. We must confess. We must say to the Lord, say to Jesus, I give you this thing, this mountain. Take it away. We do this in the sacrament of confession, in our prayer life. And make no mistake, we must do the confessing, and the confessing must be to Jesus. The thing is, it's so scary to do that. I know. I go to confession every week. Very scary to do this. And yet, the joy on the other side of that confession, of that being vulnerable to the Lord, is absolutely marvelous. It's extraordinary. So my friends, if we are to receive the joy of the gospel, the joy that Jesus talks about, we must confess our sins, repent, and show that good fruit of our repentance. My friends, if we do these two things, serve and repent, confess our sins, we will experience the joy that St. Paul talks about in our second reading today. And the words almost leap off the page. Rejoice always in the Lord. I shall say it again, rejoice. At the heart of what it means to be a Christian, a Catholic, is to be and live a life full of joy. To her last breath, Kiara remained an example of rejoicing in Jesus Christ. Kiara requested to be buried in a wedding gown. She knew that in her pain and suffering, the Lord was asking her to be a spiritual spouse, if you will. And she wanted to display that as she was being laid to rest. As her life drew near, she encouraged her mother by saying, when you're getting me ready after I have died, Mom, you will have to keep saying to yourself, Kiara is now seeing Jesus. Kiara is now seeing Jesus. Kiara Lucia Badano died on October 7th, 1990. Her parents and friends were with her. Her last words were, goodbye. Be joyful, because I am joyful. 20 years later, on September 25th, 2010, she became the first saint of Generation X to be beatified. And she is close to having her cause cleared for her to become and be declared a saint in the Catholic Church. This Advent, my friends, we should learn from John the Baptist and Blessed Kiara. Why don't we encourage one another to serve others, to repent of our sins, and together learn a truth that every saint has known throughout the centuries. Joy is not the absence of suffering. It is the presence of God.